you know, school's rough at times, but it is a great place to grow and learn how to handle pressures maybe that you don't like. Today we're going to look at a very, very simple concept, and I trust the Lord will make it very real to us, because by the end we want to know how we can live differently in a very energetic, positive way that pleases the Lord. We're going to look at the difference between mixture and unity. Now, we all love it when we are working together and it's just a great unity. There's like a buzz, like bees around a hive. You know, everybody's doing their thing. They know what they're supposed to do. Or anthills. I think I told you about the anthills in my yard. They're like this high, okay? They're huge. I'm not exaggerating. They're giant mountains of ants, okay? And they all work together. They're building, you know? And they're engaged, okay? Our point of departure for this, or springboard, is Psalm 133. If you have your Bible, open it up. And we'll read this. I don't know which translation I'm working with here, but it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon Aaron's head that ran down his beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts or the fringes of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, which is a mountain, and dew when it falls on everything." It's just unified, like the snow covers everything. "And as that dew that descended on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even forevermore." So what a wonderful, wonderful thing that when there is unity, God blesses. God blesses, and we love that. Now, the idea about this anointing oil on Aaron's head, it touched his head, and we know that spiritually speaking, who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. So he had that anointing, and who's the body? We are, okay? And so as that anointing that was on him comes to us, his body, as every member fits in where it belongs, is a beautiful, beautiful unity that comes about. Now, the opposite of unity, for our purposes today, would be mixture. Okay? Now, today we had communion in there. That was great. Now, I just happen to have with me today a little bit of food, okay? And so, as a matter of fact, I'm going to prepare something for us today. All right? And just to make very, very clear and very understandable, and by the way, it's all very real food, including my Tim Hortons, okay? Exactly what this difference is between unity and mixture. All right? Now, I love Chinese food, but I don't have any here today. But what I have is a wonderful, wonderful, incredible... look at this. It's a pasta dish. It smells fantastic. You love those food shows? I love watching the food shows. When they're all done cooking, they stick their little, you know, utensil in, and they go, oh, this is great. You would love it. Too bad you can't have any. This is marvelous. You know, nice. Isn't that nice? So anyhow, here is this great, great dish. Oh, there's broccoli. There's garlic. There's probably, you know, unfermented grape juice in it. It's just a marvelous, marvelous little dish. Now, if I had all of the stuff, see, my wife packed this for me, but I would, I would freshly grate some Parmesan cheese on this. Yes. I would sprinkle the edges with herbs and spices, and this would be a very beautiful dish. It is so good. I love that. As a matter of fact, I love cooking. But you know what? No meal is complete without some coffee, maybe some water, and, of course, we have to have dessert. Don't we have... Do you like dessert? Yeah. Who said no? All right. Let's pray that person gets saved. Nice cherry pie. Freshly made. All right. With just a little bit of whipped cream on it. Oh, I love this. And then I love chocolate. Oh, chocolate. To me, chocolate is like, I don't know, the nectar of the whatever. All right. So here we go. Oh, I could just pour this all over myself. All right, there we go. Marvelous meal. Very, very good, okay? It's delicious. It's nutritious. and just a fantastic, fantastic dish. Now, there are all kinds of people. My wife is one of those that if she could have, you know, dishes that have little compartments in them, she would never let the juice from asparagus ever kind of mingle and integrate with, you know, the veal cutlet. They must stay separate, okay? And then there are people, like my grandfather, oh my goodness, watching him eat, you had to kind of get geared up for it. Because I remember one day I spent the night at their house, and it was breakfast time. And, you know, he was from Italy. And I was thinking about that this morning as I was carrying all this stuff in. You know, you guys are from, you know, your roots at least, from a foreign country. And I had that same thing. Anyhow, you know, so there were some customs that came over, you know, that were different. And as time went on, we mixed, in a good way, amalgamated some of American ideas into our Italian heritage. You know, and that was okay because it made us fuller people. But when he would eat, he didn't care if anything got mixed up. As a matter of fact, he did it on purpose. He had breakfast one morning and he had all these boxes of cereal and he mixed all those together. They didn't stop there. Because food is food. Food is life. You eat, you live, according to him. So he went to the refrigerator and he pulled out some broccoli and he pulled out some peas and some leftover pasta and he put it all in one bowl, poured milk over this whole thing and just ate it. You know, now that is not my kind of mixture. Now this might represent, let's just say that this little noodle here represents, what's your name? Tina. Tina? All right. Gina? Pina? What'd you say? Janice. Sorry. All right. And this wonderful piece of broccoli will be?
Sisia.
Okay, I got that right the first time. Oh, look at these spicy little dicey things. This has got to be Eric. We pick on Eric every week. Oh, there's a nice chunk of chicken there, too. All right, so each part of this great meal could be like one of us, okay? Or, let's say, being that you're going back to school, like the people at school, all right? Now, who might be one of the sweetest people in the room? Raise your hand. Oh, right there. Great. What's your name? Fantastic. Okay, here she goes. All right. Now, she is so sweet. People just love being around her. Okay, now no meal is really complete, for me at least, without starting out with a little bit of water and then some lemon. I love lemon, too. Lemon is so good. All right. Now, is this going to be beautiful? No, you can already tell, can't you? It's not enough water. I love a lot of water, purified water, you know, it's just good stuff. And that's how I usually start out with a little bit of water. And then to finish my meal off, I love coffee, so I'll put a little coffee in there. Now, if I put my lid on this, this is a great picture. Oh, how do you turn it off? There we go. This is a fantastic picture now of what mixture is, all right? And just this week, look at this. Who would like some of this? You want some of this? I puked it looked better than that before. Anyhow, okay, that is a picture, and it doesn't even smell good. Oh, sorry, I poured it out. That's a picture of mixture, a real picture of mixture. And God says throughout His Word that we are to live separated lives. Now, I'm talking about separation. I'm talking about unity. How does this really fit together? Okay? We're to be separated, first of all, to Him. He has got to be number one in every one of our lives. We love our parents. We love our friends. We love our spouses. But He has got to be really the one single true love in our lives. And this week, something really cool happened. As I was reading Scripture, I was in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And Jesus said this, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." And I started thinking about leaven. Whatever we, you know, put ourselves around becomes like leavening. When you put leavening, I watch Grandma make bread, she put the leavening in the flour, she'd mix it up, and it'd be a ball this big. She'd put it in the oven with the oven off. She'd come back later in the day and the thing would be this big. Leaven. We are all taking in stuff that is like leaven. Leaven of the Pharisees. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about the bacteria, so to speak, of religion. It will get in you and grow. Was he saying don't be religious? No. He said, beware the leaven of Pharisees. Beware the leaven of government, the world system. Matthew was part of the world system. He was part of the tax collection group. And it worked for him. He was not upset with Rome. Rome was doing a cool thing. Man, it gave him a job, and he can make some good money at it. Jesus said, beware of that. Later on, he says, beware the leavening of malice in Scripture. It says, beware the leavening of sin. In other words, there are things in us that will bring mixture in our lives. If we let them grow, it'll take us over. Little leaven takes over the whole thing, see? And so we've got this leavening of the world system of government. The leavening of even religion can, in a way, take us over. Like some of my friends, they are so, let's say, Catholic, or they are so Lutheran, or so Baptist, or so non-denominational that they don't relate to other people. I literally heard a pastor say, well, I don't know about any of those other Christians. I don't relate to any of them. How is that the body of Christ? Where's the unity in that? Okay? So, you know, we want to beware that our leavening, because the best leavening ever is what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is like leavening. That's the leavening that we want in our lives. That it will grow in us and take over the whole lump, the whole dough, okay? So that we too can become bread, you know, for others. Now, unity is good. We saw mixture is bad. That's disgusting. We don't want any part of that. Although all the components of it are good. All the components, the different people here, they're good. But you don't need to be like each other. You need to be like Christ and like the pattern that he has for your individual lives. So you see, when I came in this morning, I had all this stuff I had to carry. And you're Alan, right? Alan. Alan's over here, and I said, Alan, I need a... Al? Oh, Alex. Okay, good. I said, I need an extension cord. And I said, why do I have all this junk? Why can't I just be like everybody else? I can't. Because I'd be in the blender. Somebody would push the button, you know, and I'd be just like everybody else. We'd all be the same. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So, we understand that. Now, unity is good. Listen to what Scripture says in Romans 15:6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father our Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore ye receive one another as Christ also received us. See, Christ receives this guy right here in the black and white shirt. Christ loves him. He receives him. And therefore we should receive him as Christ does. Okay? Very powerful. There's oneness. One God, one shepherd, and one body. Scripture is full of this sort of thought. Endeavoring to keep in Ephesians 4:3. Trying hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. There's many churches, but they're all one body. One Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Okay? But unto every one of us is given grace. This is where we're different. To the measure of the gift of Christ. So we're different, but we fit together beautifully. All right? I think about the human body. Do you know that you don't have any two parts of your body that are exactly the same? They just are not. Your right eye and left eye. I mean, one's the right one, one's the left one. I don't think you could pop this one out and switch them. You know, you might walk backwards or something. I don't know, something strange would happen, okay? No two parts. All these fingers, not two of them are the same. Because some are over here and some are over there, okay? And so there's none of us that are exactly the same. I have twin granddaughters. They're not the same. you know. They're different. And they're identical twins. All right? So let's take a look at this idea of diversity. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through chapter 13 and verse 1, this is very, very cool. It says, God has set different people in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he asks this question. I want you to answer these questions, okay? He says, and they have different operations. Some do miracles, some have gifts of healing, helps, governments, and some even speak in diverse tongues. Verse 29, he says, are all apostles? What's the answer? Can't hear you. No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. See? And then he goes on and he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. What are the best gifts? The Bible says, covet, go after the best gifts. Well, I'll tell you what, the best gifts are the ones that you are supposed to have. All right? What's best for one is different than what's best for somebody else. And then he goes on and he says, but you know what? All the stuff about gifts and what you're getting from God and all, he goes, I'm going to show you a better way. Who knows what the better way is? Anybody? What is the better way? Pardon? Love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, he says, I'm like sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The Message Bible says it this way. If I speak with human elegance and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but a creaking, rusty gate. And I thought, wow, that is picturesque. He says, I'm nothing but a gate. And I think about this church. And I think that every one of you, going back to school, going back to college, you can be like a gate. People say, there's something different about you. What is it? Oh, I'm a rusty gate. No, that's not what you want to say. Okay. But if you're not finely anointed, like we read in Psalm 133, like the anointing upon Aaron, you know, oil on the hinges, and we can be like those hinges on a gate that open freely to bring other people in. Wow, that's good. And what is that oil? What is that anointing in our lives? Well, those who love the Lord, He comes and lives with them in new and special kinds of ways. And let's face it, the one thing, the one hole in every human heart is to be loved. And as you guys and girls are ambassadors of the kingdom of God, and you're in unity with Him, you see, that unity will transfer to other people. And love is the one thing that is like this incredible glue, magnetic attraction that brings people together. And I just see this as a very, very important central issue of the entire Bible, that we love as He loves. You know, it's very exciting to me to see this and to see the potential of this, you know, for your lives. Well, I brought something else today, too. I couldn't resist. Here it is. This, I think, is one of my favorite things. I wanted one of these for a long time, okay? Aren't these cool? I love these. And I didn't even know why I wanted it, you know? And one day I came home. They're just looks like, you know, it's just fun. And one day, ow. There we go. Okay. One day I came home and I found this in my basement. And I says, Chris, where'd that come from? And she says, oh, you know, a friend of ours bought it for us at a garage. I go, that is so God, you know. I mean, they're too expensive for me to, like, just go buy it because a 58-year-old man wants a toy. I don't think so. But it was there in my basement, okay? Now, this is a great truth. This is so cool. I think this is, like, what my life is all about, actually. Okay. Well, I always pick on Eric. So, you all know Eric really well. I'm going to write his name here. Eric, how do you spell it? R-I-C-R-I-C. Okay, good. Eric, what is a strong point about Eric's life? What's so cool about Eric? They laughed! They laughed! I'm sorry, my son. Go in peace. All right. Is he funny? Is that why you laughed? All right, funny. Let's just put funny down. Okay, Eric is funny. And let's put Eric right here. I think this is a fun color for Eric. He's kind of like an orange, pink, happy color guy. Okay, there you go. Forget the pink. I'm sorry. Let's put it over here in red. Okay, great. Eric. Oh, well. Eric, you're not sticky. There you go. Okay. All right. Who might you say in this place is more of a serious person? Kind of the opposite of Eric. Who? Tim. Tim. All right, Tim. All right, Tim. See, Tim can accomplish great things through his seriousness. So, Tim, you're kind of different than Eric, so we're going to stick you on the other side. Okay, there you are. All right, let's see. What's another character trait? Who's gifted in music? Oh, a different Eric? Oh, Eric. Okay, good. You spell it, Eric. Okay, great. Well, let's put over here music. Yeah. All right, now here, let's do this to yourself, okay? Who knows that you are not gifted in music? Raise your hand. Okay. All right, what's your name? Kenny. All right. And I can't just write, like, not music. What should I write here? What are you good at? Oh, that's not true. What? Oh, good looking. All right, let's put him down there. Good looking, okay. All right, there we go. So let's put him, we can't put him opposite of Eric, because that would mean Eric isn't good looking. All right, anyhow. Okay, so we've got these guys, and we could spend a lot of time and have a lot of fun, and actually a lot of ministry here, by just talking about each other. Talking about each other. Yeah, because, and we'll get to that in a little bit, you know what each other has to offer. It's very, very sweet, okay? Now, I have these series of scriptures that I just love that talk about manifold temptations, manifold wisdom from above, okay, and manifold grace from God. And the word manifold is in each of those verses. The word manifold means multicolored, okay? And that's why I love this thing. Because there's so many colors, and yet they all fit together, okay? Now, just like, and I don't know, you know, just like these all fit together, this thing grows, okay? And it just gets really big. It's really kind of cool, okay? It grows. And as each of these kids grow, all right, all right. As each of these kids grow, they're going to grow in their gifts, okay, which is really cool, all right? Now, I want you to realize something else. When you go back to school, there are going to be other people at school that are gifted in music, other people at school that are funny, other people at school that are serious, and you already know that, okay? But let's think about this, okay? There are going to be other churches. The distinctive of your church is that you are predominantly Asian. Okay? You already knew that. There are going to be kids from other churches who are not Asian. Now, do they all fit into the one God, one shepherd, one circle, many colors, one Lord, one faith? They do, okay? Now, I know that's a little out there, maybe a little abstract, okay? But the truth of the matter is that this oneness that I personally am geeked about in the body of Christ in the many churches has got to function right here in Oakland Chinese Church, and it has to function right there and there and there in your families and in your youth group, because remember, that's where the blessing is. When there's unity, then there's blessing. And where there's blessing, there's power. Remember Acts? Yeah. Acts chapter 1. They were in the upper room, and the Bible says, and they were in one accord. And that's when the Holy Spirit came. Okay? And just like somebody prayed during communion today, that the Lord gives us His Holy Spirit. Well, when does that come? It comes when there is that unity. When we've done what we can do to bring about that kind of unity. It's very exciting. When we harbor criticism. Now, we can't just say, oh, that's a lovely idea. I like that. I'd like to put that idea in my pocket and take it with me. Because it's such a good idea. Yeah, right. Okay. What happens is, sometimes, these lovely ideas are going to challenge us. You can't just add good ideas. Sometimes you have to take out some bad ideas. You have to remove some things. You have to get rid of some stuff to make room for the good stuff. Okay? So let's take a look at this idea of disunity. And in particular, the idea of criticism. Because if you've been here for a while, there may be some ideas you have about each other, some things about each other, that maybe you don't extremely appreciate a lot. Maybe some people here even bug you. Maybe it's that way at home. If the Word of God is the Word of God, it's going to change that situation for you as you yield yourself to it. When we harbor criticism without love or speak against other Christians, you know, we are literally joining forces with the devil to tear down and destroy the multi-membered body of Christ to which we belong. The devil has done a fine job of beating up your brothers and sisters. He doesn't need your help. All right? He has his job and his eternal judgment. Don't make it your job or your eternal judgment either. Because the Lord is not happy with those who are critical and negative toward each other. In Psalm 50, in verse 20 through 23, it says this. He says, "You sat down and you spoke against your brother, and you slandered your own mother's son." Could be in a family situation. "These things you did," and God says, "I kept silent. You thought that I was just like you in your opinions, that I agreed with you." And He says, "But I will reprove you, and I'll set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces." Oh my goodness, can you believe that? That's the Word of God. He says, you talk about other people. He says, "I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver you." Of course, He doesn't leave us there. Verse 23, He says, "But whosoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conversation aright, I will show salvation." So, that's why I say it's so much fun with this toy to put each of us someplace on this sphere. And you know who can put you there? You can put yourself there, but others can put you there as well. We can talk about Becky. We can talk about Alice and Sue and Debbie and Kayla and Kylie and Taylor and Ralph and George and all these people, Danny. And we can say, "Oh, yeah, you know, Taylor, he is such a cool guy. Tanner, oh, man, Tanner, whatever he does to a, with all of his heart, and he does a perfect job. Dominique, he works so slow, but he knows where he's going with what he's doing. You know, it's just so cool. I want to be more like Dominique. No, I want to be more like Tanner. I want to be like Tanner. No, I want to be like Danny, because he, you know." What I just did is what the psalm says. Whosoever orders his conversation aright, and whosoever offers praise about him or about her or him or her, is glorifying God in that person. Get a load of this. We're born again. We're the kids of God. And we're supposed to start looking like Him. Maybe not facially, but we're to look like Him spiritually. So when we use our mouths and say good things about other people, we're glorifying God. It's very, very exciting. You know, God even says in Isaiah 58, He says, "If you will stop putting forth the finger And he's talking about pointing at other people and saying negative things. Okay? Some of you are smiling because I said the word finger. Putting forth the finger. You know, I looked that up, and in the original, this is so weird. In the original, it actually means the middle finger of your hand. And it was a way of cursing other people in those early Bible times. You know. And so when we point at others and say negative things, God says, I'm not going to hear your prayer. Isaiah 58, verse 9. You know, he says, put that away. Put away putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. And then God says that he will answer our prayers. Very, very exciting portion of Scripture. So what is the solution for us? What can you walk away with today? I walked out of that sanctuary today with a little bit of grape juice and a little piece of bread that were symbols of partaking of Christ. And today, how can we partake of this in a wonderful, wonderful, simple way? The answer in Scripture always seems to go back to one thing, and that is to love the Lord. Love is a demanding and passionate fire. It really is. It consumes everything else. The Bible tells us love is jealous. The Bible tells us love is as strong as death. You know, once death happens, you step on an ant, there's no way of giving it CPR. It's not going to happen. It's death, okay? Outside of a miracle, all right? That's just the way it is. And he says, love is strong as that. It's fantastic. Listen to this verse in Philippians 2:2. And this is part of our solution because we want to know how to solve the issues that every one of us have in our hearts in our relationships with other people. How can there be more unity in our individual lives with other people, in our families, and in our church? This is what he says. Paul says, make me happy, fulfill my joy, that you all be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Then he tells us this. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem others better. Okay? Better than themselves. So when I talk about Dominique's slow, even pace, because this is a real kid, you know, he used to frustrate me until I realized, wait a minute, God just made him differently. He works slow and steady. When he's done, he's got exactly what he was after. You know, and I tend to work a little faster. You know, and when I look at Dominique and I say, I esteem his character trait better than my character trait. So if I can buddy up with Dominique, I can learn his godliness. Not that I want to be like Dominique, you know. I don't want to look like Dominique or act like him, but I see God there. I want that piece of God. I want what he has, you know. When I look at Tanner, he's kind of the same way. These are some of my graphic kids, okay? And I look at Shelby, you know, she works from, you know, a passion to serve God. And she works diligently, very, very hard. You know, Christine is a wonderful servant. You know, she sees this mess, all I have to do is walk away. She'll clean the whole thing up. Never even have to ask her. She's a servant. And when I talk about that, I glorify God because that's God in her. And I esteem others better. She's a better servant than I am. So I see God there, okay? And it's very, very exciting. It's very, very cool to live that way. Very cool to live that way. You know, our life goal persists. It continues. That is to love God. Pretty much fulfills the entire intent of the whole Bible. It's just the way it is. There's one more story here in Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. And it's about a man named Moses. And the children of Israel, the church was getting pretty nasty. You know, they were worshiping idols, having wild parties, drinking, sacrificing to a golden calf. Moses is up in the mountain. He comes down, he sees what happens, he's appalled, he throws the Ten Commandments down, they break. And, you know, other things transpired. And at one point, he's meeting with God. And God says this to Moses. Because Moses and God were pretty tight. You know, buddy-buddy with God. Sweet. So God says, tell you what I'll do. I'll wipe out all these people. Let's just get rid of these people. They are so messing up all the time. God says, I will get rid of them, Moses. Yeah. Okay. And I, you know what? I'll just meet with you, Moses. I'll put your name on here, Moses. And you know what I'll do? I'll just bless you and your little sweet wife, and I'll give you guys a million kids, and we'll just have little Moseses everywhere. Oh, yeah, Moses, you the man. Okay, so here we go. Moses is cool. And what does Moses say? Moses says this. He says, yet now, if you, God, will not forgive their sins, he goes into another dissertation. He says, if not, blot me out. If you don't meet with my brothers and sisters, don't count me in. He says, blot me out. Okay, what love, what power this man has with God. He's changing God's mind here, so to speak. Blot me out of your book which you have written. Can this be our heart attitude toward our brothers and sisters? See, unity comes when we see others as God sees them. Remember, we only see in part now, and we look through a glass, Scripture says, in a very dim kind of a glass. You know, but Moses carried them in his heart. God carries others in his heart. And we're called to be his priests. It's in 1 Peter and also Revelation as well. We're called to be the priests, those who carry burdens for others. When God offered to make a great nation of Moses, Moses refused and interceded for his wayward family, the tribes at large, and those that he was surrounded by. So that's our challenge today. You know, can we do that? Can we do that? Do we want that? Because unity, when there's unity, God's power comes. You know. And people know. They know where we stand. They know our relationships with you. We partook of communion today. And you know what it says? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that if there's divisions among you, that God wants to clear those up, because he says, if you eat and drink unworthily, not discerning the body of Christ, like some have done, they've eaten and they've drank, spiritually speaking, to their own hurt. So, you know, we don't want to fall in that category. We want to see Christ in each other. It's such a wonderful way to live. Because every time you meet somebody, they're a child of his creation. And perhaps of the second birth, they're part of your family. It's very, very cool. The Message Bible is kind of interesting. In Luke 12:47, it says, the servant who knows what his master wants and ignores it, or insolently does whatever he pleases, will be thoroughly thrashed. In other words, if you know today that there's an attitude you've got towards somebody, a negative, a criticism, you're putting forth a finger, okay? And you don't deal with it, God says he will chasten you, because he chastens everybody that he loves, okay? And this message is really for me, because there are those that I need to be restored in relationship with. And as far as I know, I'm doing all that I can. And now I'm going to follow Moses as a good example and intercede to see God change things. So if I know and I don't do it, I'm in trouble. But if he does, you know, a poor job through ignorance, oh, he'll get off with a slap on the hand. Great gifts means great responsibilities. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities. I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything. Turn everything right side up, and how I long for this to be finished. And so God's love in us and through us is like a fire that unifies, because we grow in love toward each other. So I want to encourage you in a couple of things. See God living in each other. It's wonderful. Okay? And see, you know, see him there. And then esteem others greater than yourself. You know, put yourself last. Not that you beat yourself up or beat yourself down. But when you see a gift in somebody else that is something wonderful that you don't have, you know, covet the best gift wants for you without envy or jealousy. And then, of course, if there are those that you need to be you know, restored in fellowship with. Pray. If you want that, God will give it to you. Amen? Amen. Mixture is not good. Amen. Okay, should I pray now or does somebody... Okay, Father God, we so thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, tender hearts that are here today. And Lord, only you can speak into our lives. So Lord, we know that the central issue of Scripture is that simple word that has so many frail and vain meanings in our culture and our society, love. But when you speak it, it is that fire. So we pray today, Lord, that even as the Holy Ghost came and was symbolized by fire, that you'll bring your Holy Spirit in a new wonderful way here. Lord, that each of us can be empowered by that Spirit to be, as your word says, your witnesses. And Lord, as we witness Christ in each other, we grow. And then as we go out with your anointing of love, we'll not be squeaky gates, but we'll swing wide open in our love toward those that you're drawing in your kingdom. And Lord, we'll see manifestations of your wonderful unity. We so thank you and praise you today for your goodness. I ask your blessing upon each one here in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Bless you.